I'm Algernon Cash, and you're locked in. Welcome back to the show. We do have a familiar face, familiar name. Chef Justin Webster has been with us before. He has locked in before. So glad to have him back today. Just for my audience that may not remember Chef Justin Webster, he owns Hef's Burger Club in downtown Winston-Salem on 4th Street. I've even got my Hef's, my official Hef's merch on for this conversation today. Chef Justin, how are you, man? Thank you for locking in with me.
Good. Thanks for having me, man. I'm working and, having a good one.
Said you came off the line so you could have this conversation with me today. That's how important it was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Chef, I invited you on today for multiple reasons. One, I know my audience that follows me so closely and are members of Eat, Drink, Triad. They know that for the second year, was it second or third?
Third year in a row.
Oh, my gosh. Third year in a row, Hef's Burger Club has won Best of the Triad with Eat, Drink, Triad. So congratulations on that. If I had like one of those little audio cues, I would do the hand clap thing for you. But Chef Justin, man, how does it feel to continue to receive some of the recognition that you've received at Hef's over the many years you've been open now?
It's pretty surreal, man. We've been open 2.5 years. I think we opened right before our first restaurant week. And I think we had a lot of momentum at that point in time. So it was really awesome, and it was really motivating to get that award so quickly. And then the second year, I think we just stayed locked in. And our third year, well, going into our third year, I think we've got our formula. We've got it's a lot easier now. We know what we're doing. We know how to make sure everything operates efficiently. Everything operates well. We've got schedules for social media now instead of just kind of like going. Just being real avant-garde about it and doing it when we felt like it. Now we've got a schedule and stuff like that. So I think we're operating a little bit tighter now, which is awesome.
Well, you know, as one of your big fans and observer of all restaurants, quite frankly, in the Triad, I would agree with you. I do feel like you all have hit some type of consistency, not only with your marketing and your outreach, but also just with the food and the service. I mean, it takes a little time to get that restaurant fully dialed in and know exactly what you're doing and being able to deliver on a consistent basis. And I feel like I want to tell you publicly, I feel like you guys have hit that stride. And I also want to say for my audience, if you're one of those people that haven't made it down to Hef's Burger Club quite yet, this is your invitation to do so. Some of the best burgers in the region, but just beyond the food and the burgers at Hef's, what I really love, Justin, is just the people, the energy, the vibe. You guys, it just seems like when you go in there, you guys are just having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was, I come from a fine dining background, so I'm used to like the white tablecloth, like really prim and proper, like everything just executed perfectly every time. I come from that background, and I learned a lot about food that way. But I think when I was kind of conceptualizing my restaurant, I wanted to put fun at the forefront, because everybody that works here is fun. We're all weird. We all like heavy punk music, and so I wanted that vibe to emanate from everything, from our food to our decor to our just general attitudes. And I think we've stayed true to ourselves that way. People might come in and be like, this place is kind of weird, but that's the reaction that we want, that kind of funky vibe, and I think we've captured that.
No, I think people's reaction will be that, when you first go in, it is definitely unorthodox, and you're doing things a little bit differently than any other restaurant would. However, I think people in today's time, when everything is really starting to look the same, in my opinion, everything you see online, everything you hear on television, everything you see in a community, it just seems like a lot of things are looking the same. And I believe you all are able to stand out with that uniqueness and that innovation and that creativity, which is hence the reason why you've won Restaurant Week for the third year. So for my audience, we're getting ready to settle this now, because I've gotten so many messages from people asking, how did Hef's Burger Club win 3 years in a row? How do they keep doing this? And I'm going to tell you how they keep doing it. They're getting the food right. That is important. I think customers expect for the food to be right when they come in. So a lot of times you don't get a lot of accolades when you get the food right. That's sort of an expectation. When I come in your restaurant, I expect the service to be good. Like that's just something I expect. The reason I think you guys keep getting attention with Eat, Drink, Triad is your creativity. It's how unique you are. it's how serious you take Restaurant Week. Like, you're putting up reels and you're engaging with your audience. And what I see, Justin, is it's almost like you guys are creating somewhat of a cult following, not just through the food, but mainly through your outreach. Do you feel that same energy or?
Yeah, I think it's kind of crazy that people like the social media so much. You know, we've gained in the 2 years that I've had the Instagram page active, you know, for the first 6 months, I had maybe 500 followers. And I was like, this is cool. I was proud of every one of those followers. And then after some of the big write-ups we had and some of the accolades, including, you know, our first Restaurant Week champion, we jumped up to, I think we're at 17,000 now. And I think that continues to grow every day. And it's funny, I never really considered myself like good at social media. I just got on there and I made like funny videos. I would post memes. I would do like carousels, post a burger and then like a meme or something like that. Cause that's just what I think is funny. You know what I mean? It's probably kind of weird to do on a burger page, but I found a way to incorporate that like sense of humor and that unseriousness into, you know, into our Instagram page. And I think people really love that.
No, you guys, I watch your page. I watch your following. You guys have been growing by leaps and bounds. And when I look at your restaurant compared to so many other independently owned restaurants in the region, I don't see that same kind of growth within social media. It doesn't mean they're not necessarily growing in the restaurant, but I don't see that level of engagement and outreach to their customers. And I think it's hugely important. And I think one reason you're successful with it is because you're being authentic. You're speaking from your real voice. And again, I think in this world that we're in now, where everything is starting to look the same and sound the same and feel the same, people want authenticity. They want people to just be genuine. And I think you're being rewarded for that. Here's my question. So many independent restaurant owners are terrified by social media. A lot of them don't understand how to advertise, how to get a message out. Where do you think you're finding that motivation to do what you're doing and the kind of engagement that you're doing? And for that restaurant owner that might be listening to this conversation, what's your advice to them?
I think with anything, with any kind of art or with any kind of, I mean, it feels self-congratulatory to call it art, but I think with any, like any form of expression, you have to find your voice. You have to find your unique voice. You know what I mean? I think that like I capitalized on our imperfection or on our weirdness, you know, I mean, things that people would normally shy away from, you know, using cuss words on your Instagram or typing in all caps and not being super formal, you know, that would, you know, many people would think that was like a downside, but that's something we capitalized on. You know, we have weird, scary clown art in our restaurant and stuff like that. And so we don't try to hide who we are. And I think that like, you've got to strive to find your own voice. You've got to be yourself. If you try to fit into this Pinterest version of what you think a new restaurant should be, you know, with this, like these like very monotonous designs choices and, you know, just trying to be like this cookie cutter restaurant. People aren't dumb. The customers aren't dumb. They know they eat at restaurants once or twice a week. So they're looking for a unique experience. There's so many restaurants nowadays that are doing really cool, unique things. Off the top of my head, So Hot and Carry, they have a robot that guides you to the table. So there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of people running restaurants now. So if you're not yourself or you're not unique or you're not individualistic, it's really hard to compete. You know what I mean? You've got to be memorable, especially in this day and age.
I 110% agree. I think the restaurant space has gotten very competitive, extremely noisy. And I think customers are gravitating and attracted to people that are authentic. And I think your advice to all restaurant owners to find their own voice is critically important. I think so many times restaurant owners spend time watching what other restaurants are doing and saying, okay, well, we need to do that. And they've got a Facebook page, so let's go to Facebook page. And they had content creators come in, so let's have content creators come in. I mean, they're just watching and following. And what I see with you is a lot of your posts and a lot of your engagement is original. It's authentic. I mean, you can definitely tell this is something that you came up with on your own. And I think the public responds pretty well to that. You know, Justin, you're focused on selling hamburgers. That's another space that's gotten really noisy, right? Like, I think every restaurant in town has a burger. Every time you turn around, there's a new burger joint that's opening up. What is really making your menu unique? What is that unique selling proposition when I come into Hef's compared to any other burger joint?
Well, like you said, I mean, every place, Chili's has a burger, you know, every place, every restaurant, even places that aren't specifically burger spots have burgers. I think of like, you know, a burger is just meat and two buns, and you can really be as creative as you want between, you know, within that realm. So we try to make our burgers fun. We focus on taste first and foremost. Like, we'd love to use like certain ingredients, but at the end of the day, we're just looking for flavor. We're just looking for good tasting burgers. So we put that at the forefront of our minds whenever we come up with a new recipe and stuff like that. And that's what leads us to use maybe uncommon ingredients or ingredients that aren't quite as widely used. I remember when I was coming up with the burger sauce for the Lady Killer, I was doing like roasted garlic mayo, trying a bunch of stuff, and then I came across black garlic, and I was like, what if I made like a black garlic Thousand Island sauce? It was kind of like a play on a Big Mac sauce, and that's how the black garlic sauce came to be. But yeah, just, you know, lots of R&D, you know what I mean? Everything that makes it on our menu, we run it as a special two or three times to make sure it sells, make sure people like it. We get feedback. We tweak. We're constantly changing our buns because we're constantly doing R&D. We're constantly saying, how can we make this better? There's an art to burgers. It's a really quick, easy item to make. And you can make a decent burger. Anybody can make a decent burger. But to make a really good burger, you've got to put in that work. And you've got to do that. Because everything from your seasoning blends to your sauces to the types of pickle you use, how thinly you cut your lettuce or what kind of lettuce you use to the cheese to the toppings, or it's an art form. It's not as easy as it may seem. So and I think that's with anything, any type of food. You've really just got to devote yourself to your craft, and you've really got to love what you do. And it's got to taste good. First and foremost, it's got to taste good. You could have the coolest decor in the world. You could have the best Instagram page in the world. You could do all this blah, blah, blah. But if your food doesn't taste good, people are going to figure that out. Like I said, people are not dumb. They're going to be like, well, this place isn't good. So I think focusing on flavor first and foremost is the key.
If you're just now joining the conversation, I'm Algernon Cash. You're locked in. And the other voice that you hear with me having a conversation today is Chef Justin Webster, who is the owner of Hef's Burger Club, downtown Winston-Salem on 4th Street. I would totally agree with you, Justin. The Lady Killer is one of my favorite. I seem to be stuck on that. You all have so many creative burgers, and you run features like all the time. I mean, so yeah. For my audience, if you're looking for something new, you get tired of the same old thing, you want to try some different combinations, some different flavor profiles, these guys at Hef's, man, they're running features like crazy. And I like the methodical approach that you're taking around R&D, as you call it. I think all businesses, all small businesses, are basically just a series of experiments. You should be constantly running experiments to figure out if you're giving your customer the most value. Are you operating your business the proper way? Are you marketing and communicating effectively? You should constantly be tinkering with that business. Every day you come in, you should be running an experiment. And I like how you, Justin, talked about how y'all stay on top of the innovation. That's critically important. So you guys are having a good time. Not all restaurants and are having a great time right now. There's some struggles within the restaurant industry. Talk a little bit about the struggles you might be seeing at the moment. I know I hear folks talking about labor issues still, even though we're 4 years out of COVID. Yeah. I know food prices have skyrocketed. Labor prices are higher. Consumers have a little bit less money. What are some of the challenges that you're seeing down at Hef's?
So yeah, we're not exempt from any of that. We, you know, we're dealing with the same things, food prices are like you said, skyrocketing. And when people hear that, they don't realize that's everything from cheese slices to lettuce to onions. A lot of things have almost doubled in price. And so you've got to account for that. So, you know, some people have to tighten up their menus, make it smaller. Some people have to worry about, you know, they have to cut those costs elsewhere. And the profit margin for a restaurant is not huge. If you're operating at maximum efficiency, everything's perfect. Your food cost, your labor cost is perfect. The best day, the best restaurant is operating on a 10 to 12% profit margin, which is great, which is wonderful. If you have any kind of positive profit margin, and if you're able to pay your bills, keep the restaurant open, and walk away with a little extra money, you're killing it in a restaurant. Cause, restaurants are a tough industry, and there's a lot, you know, most fail within a year. So it's definitely a huge risk getting into the industry. And right now the conditions, it's making it even tougher to sustain, good business. But, what I would say to owners is get back there and cook. You know what I mean? Like the best way to save on labor is to do it yourself a little bit. Luckily we've got a great team of, you know, a very select team. We joke that there's never really a job opening at Hef's because we keep people, and we keep a very small, tight team, and 40 hours out of the week, I'm back there cooking. So there's a good chance when you come here, I'm the one cooking for you. And I think that that's what it takes nowadays to survive, is to be really hands-on, to be in your restaurant every day. I mean, it would be great. It would be awesome if I could have this autonomous, self-sustaining thing, you know, where I could make money off of it and I could be on the beach somewhere. But, the reality is, man, restaurants only succeed if you actively love them and you actively show them love. It's like anything, you've got to tend to it. So I feel like the more I'm back there and the more I'm hands-on as an owner and as a chef, the more we succeed. So yeah, I mean, if labor is a struggle, if food cost is a struggle, just constantly be monitoring where you can make cuts, constantly be looking, you know, for places to save money, and then get back there and cook, get back there and serve, work the cash, you know, as an owner, you're not above those things. And I think people love seeing the owners partaking or participating in daily business.
Justin, I think you just gave my audience some real gold and some gems there. I hope they picked up on all of it. So for you, for that person out there that listens to my show every week, or you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, and you think that it's so glorious and glamorous to own a restaurant, you need to go back and listen to everything Justin just told you. I get those phone calls all the time from people saying they want to be in the restaurant business. I want to own a restaurant. I'm not dissuading you from owning a restaurant. I love local, independently owned restaurants. But I'm absolutely telling you, everything that Justin just said is completely true. It is a tough, tough business. And you might be back there dropping French fries and flipping burgers at your restaurant. And especially if you're newer to the business like Justin, where you've only got one restaurant. I mean, he's really fighting to keep his restaurant sustained. He doesn't have five or six restaurants around town that he can hop around to. Also, I want to go back to something you said, because you're spot on with the net profit margin, 10 to 12%. You're right there at it. Now, some of the large corporate owned restaurants, the quick service restaurants like McDonald's, they do more. Their profit margins are higher, but they also have better pricing and all these other things that sort of come into it. So what Justin is trying to tell you, if you've got a restaurant operation that's making $500,000 a year, you're walking away with about $50,000. That's your profit. So to put that into perspective for some of you, you could actually go be the GM at McDonald's and make more money than you would if you actually owned your own small business. So people like Justin, he's not doing this because he's getting rich. He's doing this because he has a love for food. He's doing this because he has a passion for Winston-Salem. And that is why you constantly hear me saying that you've got to get out and support local. You have to support Hef's Burger Club and Hungry Palate and Ex-Caret and Foothills and all these other places downtown that are your independent, locally owned restaurants. And Justin, I tell you, I get so frustrated because customers oftentimes want to go the path of least resistance. They just want to go with whatever's top of mind. So they do go to Chili's, or they go to Applebee's, or they go to one of the big corporate giants. But you really, really need them to come down to Hef's. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, I think that being downtown, we're lucky to have kind of a built-in crowd. Conferences, business people, people that work downtown. So we, as an independent restaurant, we're lucky. We do have a consistent enough return crowd in order to be, you know, to sustain. But I think for any small business, yeah, we need butts and seats. That's, you know, that's what keeps us going. You know, it takes even the strongest restaurant in the world, even the, you know, the top of the line restaurant, if they go without customers for 2 months, they're tanked, you know. So at the end of the day, two weekends. But yeah, so we count on our customers, and that's why we try to make our customer experience as good as possible.
Yeah, and I just want to continue to encourage my audience and ask and not let don't stop there. Go tell five of your friends who Hef's Burger Club is, and tell those five friends to tell five more friends. But when you're thinking about celebrating your kid's birthday, or you're just wanting to step out for a nice quick meal on a Saturday evening, think about Hef's Burger Club. Think about all these local independently owned restaurants that are in town. You know, Justin, you talked a little bit about downtown. And, you know, I've been around a little longer than you. I'm a little older than you. So I've seen a real unique transition in downtown Winston. I recall when downtown absolutely had no one in downtown. You wouldn't even have been in downtown Winston past probably 6 or 7 o'clock. And then I also was able to witness the downtown revitalization that we went through. That was when Foothills Brewing opened up on 4th Street and Mellow Mushroom came into town and the Neeson building and the apartments started to open up. And we've seen sort of a transformation in downtown. I want to get your reaction to this because I feel like, at least personally, when I look around downtown Winston, some of that growth and some of that progress has stalled. It doesn't quite feel the same downtown, and it hasn't felt the same, I would say, since pre-COVID. What are your feelings? I mean, you're downtown on 4th Street every single day.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I've noticed that as well. Like you said, you know, I've grown up as a kid in the 90s. We'd come down here to pay our water bill. That was it. There was nothing. I think there was, I don't know if you remember that. There was that one Subway that was like the only place to eat at. And yeah, you know, I would skate when I was in middle school in the early 2000s. I would skate up Trade Street, and it was like when it started to get dark, we were like, okay, we got to get home. Like this is terrifying. So yeah, seeing that, that kind of 2010s era revitalization where, you know, Foothills came along, you know, Sweet Potatoes was here for a long time, but just seeing it kind of build itself up and stuff like that, that was awesome. And then I think you're spot on with that. I think COVID was kind of a doorstop there. You know, we had all this upward momentum. I think what's happening now is that a lot of people have noticed that like downtown's getting cool. So I think that like maybe the cool artistic things that were happening in the early 2010s have kind of halted, and we've gotten a lot more kind of monotonous businesses coming in, a lot of business, or a lot of things with no flavor. And I think that what it's going to take is, you know, another one of those like kind of like explosions of creativity, like getting some more businesses in that like aren't as meat and potatoes, you know what I mean? Getting we've got some great food pop-ups now. We've got people like Kuya Bear Food, who does Filipino street food, which is like one of the coolest things ever. Like that's the kind of spots I want to see downtown. And you look at other surrounding cities, I mean, even Greensboro, you look at Greensboro, it seems like the populace is a lot more receptive to this kind of cool, unusual thing, you know what I mean? And Winston has always been kind of, you know, I grew up here. It's always been kind of an introverted city. We've always kind of had a separate culture from the rest of North Carolina, which is really cool on one hand, but at the same time, it's a lot of people are stuck in their ways when it comes to like dining, going out and stuff like that. And I think we just need to open ourselves up to like giving these kind of unique businesses chances, you know what I mean? Because I'd love to see a Kuya Bear Food. I'd love to see I don't know if you know Brian Gebhardt. He's doing an amazing yakisori pop-up. I'd love to see a business like that. You know, frequenting restaurants like Us, Mission, Bobby Boy. I think that like more restaurants like that will help the city grow. At least in the, you know, in the, they say like the way to judge a good city is by its punk scene and by its restaurant scene. And that's what makes a cool city. Any cool city you can think of has a cool punk scene, and they have a cool restaurant scene. So I think once we revitalize that, and once we start getting more adventurous with the types of business we allow to exist here, then the city will continue growing.
I would not disagree with you. I've often said that I think small businesses are the backbone of every community, but I think restaurants, local restaurants, are the heartbeat of the community. And when you think about people coming into your community and your city to visit, what is the first question they always ask? Where should I go eat? It's the first question you always get. It's the first question you always ask when you visit a city or a community. And so I think Justin is spot on there. I mean, I think we got to make sure that we're doing all we can to protect and preserve and grow our restaurant community. I've taken a lot of heat for saying this before, but I'm going to say it again because sometimes the truth is just the truth. I agree with Justin. I think Greensboro's food scene is far more progressive than Winston-Salem. It's more culturally diverse. The palates in Greensboro are more mature. And I think Winston has a lot of catching up to do to emulate what I see happening in Greensboro right now. I mean, restaurants like Machete and Yokai, and I mean, these guys are really taking things to a sort of a different level over there. And I know folks in Winston don't like to hear that. But I say it because I want you to get in your car one day and go over and see for yourself. And I think the more we go over there and cross-pollinate with communities like Greensboro, the more they come over here and want to cross-pollinate with communities like Winston-Salem. And I think when you talk about food and beverage, we certainly should be talking about it from a regional level, not just from an individual city level. I promise you, Justin wants to sell hamburgers to people in Winston, but he also wants to sell hamburgers to you in Greensboro and High Point and all points in between. So he wants everybody to come visit with him. I want to go back to something you said about, you know, being downtown, you have the conferences and some of that flow that comes in. And I totally agree with you. I think that's one of the benefits of having a downtown restaurant is it, when a big conference is in town, you're going to get that walking traffic. When someone wants to get married at the hotel or the various events that downtown does attract. However, you know, it feels like downtown isn't creating jobs, though, like sustainable jobs. And so the restaurant owners that I talk to in downtown are really complaining about their lunch business and just saying that, you know, lunch has just completely fell off. Over the weekend, we heard that Mayberry's, just right across the street from you, they're folding up their tent. They're done. They're gone. We also saw Supak take Downtown Thai out of downtown, and that might have been for various reasons. The location that you're thriving in has been several different restaurants over the years. And without breaking any news today on my show, I know of other restaurant owners in downtown that are saying that most likely next year they're going to call it quits. They can't make it without a strong lunch business. What are you seeing in regards to lunch and that little block that you're in there on 4th Street?
Our lunches are still strong. I think that like we have noticed that there is, and there's ebbs and flows, certainly. We try to put ourselves in a position where we're not as strongly impacted by these ebbs and flows, the way we have contingency plans. We always act like the next month is going to be dead.
Yeah.
And we always save like the next month is going to be dead. I think your food, your operation is probably like together, it's probably about 40%. And we're going on scale of importance. It's about 40%. And the other 60% is finance. It's knowing finance. It's having someone who either takes care of your finance in-house or, you know, having good accountants and stuff like that. And so when you are doing well, it's really important to know your money and really important not to be like, oh, I wanted to get this super awesome French burner, you know, so we can start doing this and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, you might want to do that, but, you know, like always be able to plan for a rainy day or a rainy month or a rainy 2 months. So we've been lucky enough. I'm lucky enough to have my partner, my aunt Elizabeth, who doesn't let me spend money even when I want to, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, this would be cool to get this, you know, this new merch run of 200 hoodies. But it's like, you've got to do that at the right time. You've got to plan for times like this where it is, you know, inflation doesn't just affect restaurants. It's not just food costs. It's affecting your customers too. It's affecting their pockets. And that's what's, you know, what a lot of restaurants have to understand is that like the customers are suffering too. Eating out is a privilege. It's a luxury. You know what I mean? And when money's tight, people cook at home, you know, I cook at home a lot of the times. So you've really got to, that's where, you know, when I was talking about having a strong concept and having, a menu that is really tried and tested comes in, you know what I mean? Because people come in here and they know what they can get. We have people that come here every single day, and I know their cardiologist is going to be mad at me, but there's people that are in here ordering the exact same thing every day. I can look and knowing your customer base too is super important. I have at least three people a day that I can look at them and say, I got you. They'll go pay, but I don't even have to look at the ticket. Like I know exactly what they're getting. You know, we've got one guy, he's awesome. I'm not going to say his name, but he's a FedEx driver, and he is in here every single day, like every single day, for the past 6 months. But yeah, I mean, it's creating that kind of place where people know they can come get lunch and stuff like that. And you build these repeat customers. It's not a novelty place you go one time. It's not like, oh, that place sounds kind of cool. They've got this cool fusion, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go here one time, enjoy it, and then probably not go back. You want to create a place where people are like, oh, like you want to get Hef's again for lunch? We've already had it 3 times this week. That's the kind of environment I think you want to create.
Yeah, and I think you do that with your features too. I mean, you give people a reason to come back in because something's going to be new, or you're going to be offering something you didn't offer last week. And I would agree with you. I think the trick for every small business is to try to create that repeat customer. Acquiring that first customer, acquiring that first visit can be the hardest thing ever. But if you can keep them coming back, that's a very profitable customer for you because you're not paying to keep them coming back. They're coming back because they like your product or they love the food or whatever the case may be. I would say, though, I know a lot of the city leaders listen to the show and check us out from time to time. I do think that we are in a serious position when it comes to downtown Winston-Salem. We really got to be shifting our focus on creating more jobs in that community. I know that HanesBrand is moving 500 jobs to downtown Winston, but that's a little bit of a drop in the bucket. Right now, we need a massive plan that's going to generate thousands of jobs in downtown Winston-Salem. That's what's going to help people like Chef Justin Webster and so many others that are down there. That's what's going to keep them in business. They've got to get butts in the seats, people coming in for lunch, people coming in for dinner, and it's got to be consistent. So anyone in Winston-Salem, if you're on council, if you're on county commissioner, if you're on the economic development team and you hear this, we absolutely need to get moving when it comes to job creation in downtown Winston-Salem. Justin, I'm running out of time, man, but before I let you go, one last question. What can we expect from Hef's Burger Club in 2025?
We have our two biggest projects we've probably ever undertaken coming up in 2025, and I really wish I could talk about one of them I can't talk about. We do have a new breakfast pop-up series coming up, Seventh Heaven Breakfast Company. It's going to be gourmet waffles, chicken, biscuits, stuff like I can't go too far into it, but it's going to be a pop-up series that may eventually turn into something else. And then I've got a huge project happening right now that I'm under an NDA on, but it's going to be really cool and it's going to be something. I'll just put it like this: it's going to be something, you're going to be able to check out some Hef's recipes, maybe in a physical way. That's all I can say.
I love it, man. I love the idea of some type of breakfast pop-up or just breakfast, man. You guys got a great location for something like that. And I've often said that right now, Adam Andrews, he's just running the board on breakfast down there. He has no one wants to compete against him. No one wants to oppose him.
Young Cardinal's awesome.
Yeah, they're running the board. And I will say Bagner and Alexa, they came into Courtside Cafe and those guys down there are doing a pretty good job on breakfast too. But I love the idea of breakfast at Hef. So we're gonna be watching for that in 2025. Justin, as always, man, I appreciate you locking in. I appreciate everything you're doing for downtown and the community at large. And I really appreciate your passion for food and all things food. And to my audience, I appreciate you. I thank you for locking in with us. Make sure you stay tuned to WTOB because every Sunday morning, that is where the Locked In Show broadcasts. But if you happen to miss me there, of course, you can catch me on Pandora, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. You can always lock in there. And until next time, y'all stay locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WGC. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.